We have some ceremonial matters this evening. The first thing is a proclamation of the Extra Mile Day. Whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrancy exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile in personal effort, volunteerism, and service. And whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which encourages its citizens to maximize their personal contribution to the community by giving them themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, family, friends, and community. And whereas is a community which chooses to shine a light on and celebrate individuals and organizations within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow members of their community. And whereas acknowledges the mission of Extra Mile America to create 575 extra mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2017. Now therefore, I, David L. Jack, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 1st, 2017 to be Extra Mile Day. And I urge each individual in the community to take time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but to also acknowledge all those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, families, community, country, and or world a better place. Now we have a couple certificates of service. The first one is the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Roland Howe for his service and dedication as a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission from February 2016 to October 2017. Then we have the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents this certificate of service to Robert Rang for his service and dedication as a member of the school board from April 2017 to October 2017. Could you come forward, please, and receive this? And we do thank them for their service.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Rooney? Decker? Powell? Prasanka?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Do I have a motion?
What? For amendments?
Amendments? Anyone have any amendments? It's been a long night already. Conflict of interest. Did anyone have a conflict of interest on any agenda item?
I do, Mr. Mayor. My wife is a contractor to the Wrangell Medical Center. She is also the chief of staff, and she does receive pay for her contract that she performs for the hospital. And she's also an employee of the SCS, which provides medical services to the hospital as well. And she receives additional pay for those services that she provides.
So what's your conflict?
We will be discussing renewing a line of credit that will enable the hospital to meet payroll, which she is a part of.
I don't see it as a conflict of interest because it's not directed to her personally. It's a general thing, like funding for all city employees. So I don't see there's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Consent agenda now.
Move to approve those agenda items under consent agenda, items 6A and 7A through 7E.
Second.
We're moved and second. Any discussion? Hovo, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do apologize. Somehow you all received the wrong version of my report. So Kim, the clerk, was kind enough to email out the revised version of that report. So I apologize that you received that late. I do have a handful of updates beyond what was on the report itself, though. I wanted to let you know that I had a first staff meeting with the department heads regarding the goals last week, and I have we will begin having regular staff meetings with the department directors every Wednesday following an assembly meeting. So they won't be every week, but approximately every 2 weeks when we're having regular meetings. So I just wanted to let you know that's going to be starting. Yesterday, I received a phone call from Jim Clark. I assume most of you know who he is. Was very active, still is, in the timber industry. Was a has been active in it for years and years. He called me to advise me that they are going to move forward with an appeal of the decision that was made on the roadless rule. And with that original suit, the city and borough of Wrangell joined in with the state of Alaska with 17 others that were protesting the roadless rule. And he has asked if we are interested in signing on again to that appeal. I guess the decision is being made at this point by the state attorney general regarding moving forward, and he will likely need an answer sometime in the next 45 days. So we certainly don't need action on that now, but we may be bringing something to you. Interestingly enough, I spoke on the phone to him about that yesterday, and today realized I had received an email from him late last night. He said he was going to email me with some information, but to not worry about it. It was long, and I could read it at my leisure, so I didn't open the email right away today, and I'm sorry I didn't. This afternoon I opened it and realized it was an update to something very important, and that is, in response to a letter from Senator Lisa Murkowski, the GAO, which is the government, Accountability Office. Thank you. I'm sorry about this. The Government Accountability Office issued a decision on whether the 2016 amendment to the Tongass Land and Resource Management Plan approved in 2016 is a rule for purposes of the Congressional Review Act. And the GAO concluded that it is, and so it will be required to be submitted to Congress for review. And Lisa Murkowski is going to be submitting a resolution to, looks like she'll prepare a resolution of disapproval, and will be attempting to get the 51 votes necessary to pass the resolution of disapproval. If that should pass, what will happen is you will, and it says actually in the meantime, we will go back to the 2008 amended Tongass Land Plan, which would come into effect as modified by the reimposition of the roadless rule in 2011. This would allow an annual harvest of up to 100 million board feet of old growth per year from the roaded areas and from low-value IRAs. So this is a significant development in terms of use of the Tongass as a logging resource. In what would be considered an economically viable amount of board feet. So for, I don't know, small to medium, I'm just coming into all of this, so I think that would be to small to medium-sized mills. George Woodbury is here in the audience and can probably speak to this a little bit more than I, as can Carol. So if anybody has any questions regarding that. I also wanted to let you know that I received a call from Jed Smith from the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office today, and he was inquiring about a better way to be communicating with local municipalities about protests for licenses. And I said, well, we don't have any protests. And he said, well, we have one here that you approved with conditions from, that was prior to me being here, but for a marijuana cultivation and retail facility. And I said, yes, and the borough assembly approved it with a condition. And he said, well, we consider that a protest. I said, stop calling it a protest, because that makes it sound like we're not approving it and we don't want it in the community. And that's not the case. And I said, you just received a letter from the assembly about amendments to a permit for an alcohol establishment in this community, and we approved it with a condition as well. I said, that is not a protest. And so I explained to Jed that in order for us to issue a building permit here, because these are commercial establishments, the state fire marshal is required to do plan review and approval, and we can't legally issue a building permit for commercial renovation or construction without that. And I'm not sure that that was something they were actually fully aware of. And so he and I talked about trying to communicate a little bit better, and he said, well, how will we know when these conditions are fulfilled? And I said, we will actually send a letter to you saying those obligations have been met, but please, please, please quit calling them a protest, because that's not what they are. So I just want to go on the record and let people know that we have approved, the Assembly has approved two different motions, one for marijuana cultivation and retail sales, and one for an upcoming renovation to a liquor establishment, and those have been approved only with a building permit condition associated with that. So I see Patrick Mayer is in the audience here tonight. He attended AFN last week, and as all of you know, there was a resolution of support for the ANSEP concept boarding school here in Wrangell, and that resolution was tabled at AFN, and so action was not taken on that. And we probably don't have time tonight, but I will meet with Patrick to get some additional information and be reporting back to the Assembly on that. Also, some of you may be aware of the fact that we are having a very difficult time filling lifeguard positions here in the community, despite having discontinued the fee for lifeguarding class, and despite Kate, our Parks and Rec director, working very diligently to put together an advancement schedule that lifeguards can move through the pay scale that we have associated with that. And so she is spending an inordinate amount of time lifeguarding. Actually, more than 50% of her time as the Parks and Rec director is being spent running the pool, actually physically lifeguarding at the pool. And so the Parks and Rec department is going to be holding a meeting on the aquatics programming and activities schedule at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, November 1st in the Borough Assembly Chambers to provide some ideas that they have about scheduling and some alternative solutions, and to take input from the public about their ideas regarding options and solutions that they may have as well, and then try to come up with an implementation plan following that. So I really encourage anyone that has kids or, you know, it participates in programming at the pool, not only publicly but through the school system, to participate in that, because it's a huge challenge for us right now. So I have very exciting news. You may not think it's very exciting, but the community will think it's very exciting, that thanks to the work of Lee Burgess, our finance director, within the next month we will be going to online payments for our utilities. Oh, nice. And that's really exciting. And the great part about it is that it will allow for bills to be paid online, not only on your computer, but also on your smartphone. And it will be uploaded immediately to your account. So it's immediate, real-time, instant uploaded into our finance software at the time that that happens. And the great news is that people will be able to see 13 months history of their utility bills and usage online as well. And we will be putting up a computer in the lobby, so that people have, if they don't have access to a computer at home, and they want to get used to using the new system, they can come in here and use the computer in the lobby and get used to it, and we can help people through it. And it is actually going to cost us less than the fees we're already absorbing for credit card processing to have this program implemented. So that's very exciting.
We're accepting credit cards for utility payments?
We do here, yes.
Oh, when you come in, you can't set up your auto pay.
That's correct.
Can I do it on the computer with my credit card?
Yes. Online payments with your credit card.
Okay.
Yep. So that's really exciting, and I'm very pleased that we're going to be able to.
And with property tax, is that coming down the road here?
Right now, we don't have plans to accept credit cards for property tax, and part of that is because of the credit card fees associated with that. On such large payments, the loss of revenue to the borough is something right now that we don't feel we have the ability to absorb. But it's something we certainly can continue to look at as an option in the future. So, I wanted to just give you a quick update from our federal lobbyist. They emailed to say that the Senate has passed a budget resolution that sets the overall parameters on tax reform, and included in that is stuff on PILT and secure rural schools. So there is still additional legislation, individual legislation, that will have to be passed on those items, but there's positive movement, and that's a good thing. So I just wanted to let you know that they have reported to us on that. Greg Meisner gave me a Harbor Master's report, and the most critical thing that I wanted to bring you up to speed on is when a boat comes into the Marine Service Yard to be picked with a lift, there is not any way for a boat operator to leave the vessel. So they come up with the boat in the lift, and that is a significant safety issue, because if ever one of the straps were to break, and it has happened in other communities where people have been injured when a strap is broken and a vessel has fallen, but because there isn't any way for those people to get off the vessel, they have to come up. And so they have been working piecemeal, I guess, over the last year or so on putting some stuff together, and I signed the purchase order for the last bit of work to be done on that. So they have built an aluminum gangway that works horizontally that will be attached to a boarding float that they have built from leftover projects. They're reusing stuff. And that will allow customers to get off their vessels and utilize the boarding float rather than riding up with the vessels. And so that's very good news. And just a reminder that they will be attending the Pacific Marine Expo November 16th through 18th. And I think we've given you updates on Shoemaker Bay and also the stuff that you approved at the last agenda on the electrical dock project. So that's all finished and winding down. So that's good. What else do I have here? Oh, tomorrow, the NTS Regional Coordinator for Southeast Senior Services, her name is Andrea Larson. She's going to be holding a public meeting at the Wrangell Senior Center regarding transportation in the community. So anyone that is interested in that, I would encourage you to be at the Senior Center from 5 to 6 p.m. tomorrow, and I'll be attending that meeting as well. And then finally, because I have to talk about the roof. I will be attending the Wrangell Island Objection Meeting for the U.S. Forest Service pending the assembly decision this evening regarding the Wrangell Island Timber Project. That meeting is actually being held in Juneau, but you can sign on via video conference from the Forest Service office here, or you can join in via teleconference from your office. I probably will go over to the Forest Service office. I don't think there's a need for me to go to Juneau to do that. So I just wanted to let you know I will be signing on to do that, probably dragging Carol with me since she is far more knowledgeable on these issues than I am. And then my roof of the borough manager's office, what it appears is that the seams around the vents in the roof are leaking, and water is pooling up, and especially when the wind blows, it is going through the vents and coming down into old ductwork that is in the ceiling. So they brought in actually some folks from Johnson Construction to take a look at stuff today, and they have determined that they think those vents can come out, and there's vents on one side of the attic area, and they think if they put a vent on the other side of the attic area, that will adequately vent the space, and they can put new roofing material over it. But Assemblymember Prezanka told me I couldn't have a new roof because I'd spent money on other stuff, so maybe I won't get any roof.
You have another pot.
It might continue to rain in my office indeterminately until I do something really positive, I guess. So I think...
I know you have a comment, but go ahead.
I have a couple here. So I don't know which manager's report I worked off of. I think this is the most recent. So if I'm revisiting something from our previous meeting, I apologize. But so on the, I'd like to talk about the Forest Service boat and the plans for that. We're working with a memorandum of agreement with the Forest Service to take and house that vessel and put it on
a cradle.
And then I imagine there'll be some type of house over top of it. So My question is, what kind of legacy funding is being put in place by the Forest Service to pay for all associated repair and maintenance and upgrade costs on this project moving forward? And I would like to see at least 20 years put away for this project.
So my understanding, and Carol has been involved in this longer than I have as well too, so she may have something to add. My understanding is that the Forest Service will have maintenance money available in perpetuity to take care of the vessel and the cradle that is holding the vessel in place. In anything related to like a viewing platform that has been discussed to be able to see the vessel, because it's going to be up high, obviously, and any cover over the top of it that is part of that is not associated with what the minimum requirements are for maintaining the vessel, it will be an obligation that the Forest Service will not accept. So we, it's my understanding that in the proposal to the Forest Service, when Wrangell asked to have this as part of the display at the Nolan Center, we said we would take this as long as there was no expense to the borough. Now the Forest Service is able to help pay for the concept plan for everything, but when it comes to construction of any items beyond the cradle and what is necessary for the vessel itself, that would be something that the borough would have to seek like grant funding to get. And we would need to come up with maintenance funding for that.
Okay. Here's my concern. We have buildings around this community that are falling into the ground. We've condemned a large chunk of our public safety building. Our swimming pool is rotting away. I understand it's leaking in the basement and this and that. I know that the water runs through the walls of the public safety building. We have an ant infestation. We have mold all over the front of this building. We've got a new forest growing on the top of the Nolan Center. We are unable to take care of the facilities and plant that we have currently. So I do not understand how we can commit this community to paying to put in, it sounds to me like we may be on the hook for some of the structures, which I'm not sure if I voted originally on the concept, but I have a problem with we're doing anything new. We have a harbor in the Inner Harbor and Reliance Harbor that's falling into the ocean, that we are committing this community to maintenance and upkeep on something else. Until I'm convinced that we're able to care for the stuff that we have, I don't see how we can be adding something else to the community's burden. We know we're going to have a new hospital we're going to be dealing with, and we already have a hospital that's falling into the ground. Our schools, we know that they're a concern. So I would like us, you know, I really respect Assemblymember Gilbert always asking, where is the money coming from? I have a subsequent question to that is, where is the legacy money going to come from to maintain the things that we do? From this project to Shoemaker, I want to understand how we're going to maintain those new floats and how we're going to maintain that parking lot. We have several options, but we need to understand what we're leaving for the next generation. It may be good for 10 years, but then when it starts to degrade, if we don't have the funds to take care of it, we're in trouble. So this one really bothers me. I would love to see a plan brought back to us on the costs and an estimation of what the maintenance is going to cost and what the overall commitment from the borough is for this.
We won't bring it back to you until we have that.
Great. I have another question. I see your last comment on your proposed ANSEP boarding school. Following AFN, I'm proposing to have a work session with the Assembly and local. There was one comment in here. It was along the lines of that you were going to become, the borough would become a driver for this project. And this may have been in one of the other versions. Do you remember language like that?
That might have been associated with the work session materials that we had talking about goals. And my question to...
You're right, that's where it was.
My question regarding that was, What role in this, if it is to move forward, do you want the assembly or the borough to play, the borough staff to play in helping guide the work that's done, the planning work that is done for this. And so that that question really can't be answered until we know who's going to be involved and what roles are necessary. And so given the fact that the resolution was tabled at AFN, I need to speak to Mr. Mayor about this and come back to you guys with a report.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, one last thing on the manager's report. Under the water system, there's an item for us tonight regarding the water system. And I wrote this to you in an email, but I'm concerned with what appears to be, I won't say it's piecemeal, but we're kind of chipping away at a few things and here and a few things there. And I really want to understand what the community's water need is. And to me, that's not what we used this year or last year or the year before. We need to understand what our wastage factor is. We know that our water consumption goes up in the winter as people leave faucets on to prevent freezing pipes. Well, if we could eliminate that, what do we actually require for water for this community to process fish, do whatever industry we have, and provide everybody with potable water? And I think in the thing I wrote to you, I said, my understanding is it's 30 to 35% decrease in total consumption by a community that meters its water.
And that was the information that we received from Petersburg when they
switched over. They had a decrease of 35%. Mm-hmm. To me, that changes the metrics of what we're looking at up there dramatically. If we know right off the bat that we can reduce our consumption by 35%, we may not need to spend certain funds, or we may need to do, you know, we may go for a different angle of attack at it. So that was my only comment on that one, is that I would like to see that come through at some point in a report.
And I actually did, on the agenda statement associated with the goals tonight, you will see that I added the comments from your email, because it was related to the goals, and I will come back with an update to the schedule after I've had a chance to speak to the other staff about how we fit those things in.
Yep. And then concerning your meeting with the department heads, will you continue to encourage them to do as much in-house repair as they possibly can? I really commend Harbor Master Meisner with his apparatus to exit the boat while it's in the sling. That's wonderful. I love to hear that. He also came before us at the last assembly meeting with an overcharge on sand, and we wanted to know, or rock, it was mm-hmm. rock. We wanted to know what happened. Well, he took it upon himself to do a project in-house and did not spend funds for engineers to do test drilling and soil examinations.
The quantities determination, yes.
Yeah, and I really applaud that. That saved us a lot of money. Those two incidences that you explained tonight, I would wager he saved us, what, $10,000, $20,000?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, because I would like to see even more of that.
So one of the things that we will be doing with regard to major maintenance and CIP work is... I thought that was an excellent recap that Greg Meisner gave at the meeting, saying even if we had had a surveyor come in and give us the amount of quantity, we still would have ended up paying the same amount for the material, and plus the amount for the consultant. And so in this instance, even though we had to come back to you for a change order, we ended up overall saving money because we didn't use a surveyor and have to pay for those additional professional services fees. And I agree with that. There are some instances, though, where the scope and the criticality of the project require that we have specialized assistance on things. But what we're going to do with our major maintenance and our CIP projects when we bring them to you as part of the budget is we are going to make a recommendation to you as to whether or not we think the project is something that is small enough that we can do the estimate in-house with you guys understanding there's going to be a plus or minus factor there, and we may have to come back to you if we miss the mark on quantities or whatever it may be. And then we will make a recommendation on those projects that we think require additional assistance. And then that is something that you will approve as part of the budget for that project. So you will understand up front whether we are going to get professional assistance or not. And we will, as the borough, have accepted the risk associated with a project if we don't go out for professional services for them. So.
Yeah, I was going to suggest a range, and then state clearly that it's an in-house project.
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think it's very good, especially for public consumption, because like in the workshop this evening that we had about the Byford Junkyard, there were questions about the money there, and obviously that person hadn't been to previous meetings, so he was in the dark about what had been said before. And I think that's very important for public consumption that we understand a lot of this thing, but the public doesn't.
Correct. So if we're on the record by saying this is a project, the planning for which was done in-house, this is an in-house estimate, then people will understand if we have to come back with a change order after the fact. Yeah. Or during the project.
Well, in fact, I don't think there's been any project that we've approved that hasn't come back with a change order, multiple change orders sometimes.
Including the ones that had engineering.
There's certainly no guarantee. You're absolutely right about that. Yep. I think that's all I have, which was a lot.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Comments? Do you two have anything further? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For our clerk's file.
Well, once again, mine's very small. But I just want to remind the Assembly and the public that in November, the Assembly approved only having one Assembly meeting. That'll be on the 7th. So it's been moved from the 14th to the 7th, and there will not be an Assembly meeting on the 14th or the 28th.
You still have on your report that the public hearing is on the 7th.
Well, I'm assuming that we're going to be having
The same time.
What do you mean?
November 7th, public hearing, and then...
Then there's a meeting.
The rescheduled meeting.
Okay. It's going to be on the 7th. So there'll be a public hearing, I know for sure, because of something that Carol has.
Okay.
So that'll be at 6:30, and then there'll be the regular Assembly meeting that was rescheduled from the 14th on the 7th as well.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Thank you.
And then a meeting on the Monday the 6th with the hospital.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yep, that'll be at 5:30 here.
And we'll get the information ahead of time.
Thank you. I apologize. I completely forgot to put that in my manager's report. I reached out to Robert and to the representative from BDO, and he said he would. We're going to look at some information, and I think he said he'd have it by the end of the week so we can get that distributed to you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So depending on how large it is, I'll probably put it in your Dropbox. So, and if so, we'll send out an email and let you know, and I may even just send you each individually a text and let you know that it's in there. And also, I'm planning on doing the training, the open meetings, ethics, and parliamentary training for December 2nd, and that's a Saturday. And I just put from 10 to noonish because I really don't know how long it's going to take. Lisa's been working with me, and the attorney's been working with me to kind of shorten what I have because I just want to put it all out there. So I've had to get rid of some stuff, and we'll see.
Will there be snacks?
There probably will be snacks. It is a Saturday.
If you bring them.
Do you ever open that to other board members?
I'm kind of going back and forth. Since it's my first one, I'm a little nervous about doing that, but I know that it's needed, and so I probably will. I have a little bit of time, so I just to refine it, and I think everything I have in there can be used for all boards.
Mm-hmm.
and commissions and such.
So. I'll give her lots of positive reinforcement so she's ready to go.
I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Are there any reports by any assembly member?
Yes. Just a SEEP update from our end of September meeting. I was unable to attend the meeting, but I did call Trey and Clay and get a full update on it, and I read through the minutes. Basically, our water levels in both projects are looking good. Swan Lake is at the flashboards, so that if you understand our raised project that we did, we installed a flashboard system, and so we're able to retain more water in the reservoir, and so we're onto those flashboards. So that means that we now have more water than we've ever had on that project before. So that's really positive and great, and going into our winter time, of course, we want to see the reservoirs nice and full. And Tyee is just about spilling. So we've got good water up there. I was up, I guess in the spring, I flew in and observed, got a chance to fly over the reservoir. And it was pretty low then. It was quite dramatic to see how low it was. So that's good news moving into the wintertime. Recently, Trey, our CEO, went to Washington, D.C. to lobby. In Washington, D.C., we have a land dispute on the reservoir at Swan, and it's a small piece of land that got missed in the original transfer of land. The feds missed it, and now we're fighting to get it done, and so it's costing tons of money and really quite a mess, but we're hopeful we'll get that done. One of the interesting things from a board level, the Ketchikan delegation has asked that our organization be required to follow the FOIA regulations, although we are not compelled by any legislative factor. Ketchikan moved to have us basically work within those restrictions. That is moving forward. I am not a fan of that. A lot of the stuff in our projects is proprietary, and we have other groups that would love to have information, and they can file a FOIA and potentially get it. So that makes me nervous, but we're moving forward with that. We'll keep an eye on it. We could always take it away because we're not mandated to have it, so a future board could get rid of it. I've requested that Trey come and meet with the Borough Assembly at our meeting in January. I've asked him to specifically speak on this Sunrise Lake project. There's been some talk within the community about a potential water project that's tied into a small site's hydro project. And I think it's important that people understand the realities of that in terms of it would be an extremely small, by our scale, hydro project. It would be wonderful for water, but really the cost would be a very, probably relatively expensive water project for Wrangell. But I asked him to come and specifically speak about that, because that project is actually a part of a larger hydro site evaluation that we were tasked with completing for the state for Southeast Alaska. So we went through to every potential hydro site in Southeast Alaska and evaluated them, including bathymetric work and some really interesting mapping and geophysical work. So that was actually done. So we know what the information is on that potential site. And so we'll have good info to give to the community on what the reality of that looks like. That's it from SEPA. Yeah?
Do you have aerial photos and everything?
Yeah, we were in...
Okay, there's help in finding a solution to our Byford soil cleanup.
Stack it up at Sunrise Lake.
Well, maybe next to it. I thought you had.
We could try.
Oh, just
no, they just have the specific sites. Each lake and basin, and a lot of times the creeks were photographed. We did see the first draft of the hydrosite evaluation. It's impressive, and so we are looking for a future project to start to spend our money on. Evaluating to see as we hopefully demand increases in the communities.
I think you're actually deer hunting.
Yeah, it's right. I should have gone up and done it.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I know I'm in the wrong spot, but just to let the public know that I am advertising for SEPA board seats right now up until November 7th. We have two, this is the year that we have two voting and two alternates. And so if anybody's interested, submit a letter of interest to me by the 7th of November by 5 o'clock, please.
Thank you for bringing that up. Do you have anything further on that, Steve?
That would be it.
Any other reports?